Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Tonight, Father, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For losing your children, setting them free. Hallelujah. We pray for everyone in our congregation who might not be here tonight. But Lord, hallelujah, we pray for them that they might enjoy the same liberty and freedom. Oh, hallelujah. The word of God that runs swiftly might swiftly run across in their lives, oh God, and work the work within them and release them to the blessing of your kingdom. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down. Hallelujah. Amen. Is tomorrow a month? Any idea? Someone said tomorrow is a month. What's a month? What time to what time? Huh? 6 to 6. Any idea? Tomorrow somebody said it's a month. Huh? So Monday. Okay, in case it's a bond also, tomorrow evening, after 6 anyway, you'll be able to travel. So after 6, we'll meet together. But if it's a bond, then don't travel in the morning. If it's not a bond, then travel and come here for the morning worship. 6 to 7, 1 hour of prayer, just prayer in the morning. How many of you enjoyed the prayer this morning? It's fasting and prayer. Hallelujah. When we seek the face of God and just pray. No music, nothing. Just pray. Amen. 6 to 7, 1 hour of prayer in the morning. And if the bond is there, then don't come for that. Yes? We're dealing with the message here. One, the cycle. Anyway, what I mentioned in the cycle is what I said to Jeremiah 2. Are you with me? When the spirit of a wild donkey begins to operate, that's what happens. Now that one is which comes through deliverance. Amen. That's in the realm of a spirit which the hand of Jesus loses you from. And I believe tonight with all of my heart that God has loosed you. Amen. Amen. Now remember, just because the spirit went out, that doesn't mean that we're going to enjoy liberty because we have never walked in the victorious life of Christ. So there are things that you need to understand about these habits which will, in the level of the soul, which will help you to keep yourself from getting bound again. Amen. Which will get you from being bound again. How many of you don't want to be bound again? Amen. Amen. He whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And one of the things that I have something written down here. A habit is a recurrent, often unconscious pattern of behavior that is acquired through frequent repetition. A habit is a recurrent, often unconscious pattern of behavior that is acquired through frequent repetition. Are you with me? Amen. And Jesus can break any habit. The Word of God has got the power to break any habit. No matter how miserable, how much shaming of a habit that is, the word of the Lord has got the power to set you free from any habit. Amen. Now when a habit has been formed, it becomes an established state of your mind. Or a customary manner in which you go about life. Are you with me? Now for you to get the victory, remember there are certain things that you need to understand. One, a habit begins to come because you don't nip the problem, no matter what the habit is, because you don't nip the problem in the bud. Most happens to people that, what happens to most people, they get a habit, they must have started with a thought, well, it's just once. I can always get out of it. I'll never do it again. Just once. And you gave into that once, it's just a pet sin, it looked harmless. You thought you could have had victory over it anytime you want. Have you seen people that? If you see, ask anybody who smokes, why they smoke, they say, chumma thodangiyada. But then, they always thought they could give it up. There are believers who struggle with smoking. Now God can set you free from that. Are you with me? So never start it if you don't have it. Always nip it in the bud. Amen? Have you looked at people with pornography? The first time it might be just curiosity. Just want to know. That's how it always happens. Just curiosity. Just want to know. Or a wrong relationship. How it happens? Just curious. Just start with that kind of thought. Are you with me? How does it feel when you watch a Hollywood movie or a Bollywood movie? It looks like people can sin and get away with it. And they present themselves as mighty and boom, successful. Anything that's success. Are you with me? You look at a Hollywood movie and you find successful people, successful ladies, successful men. They can sleep around, they can do anything they want and no problem. But what you don't find about their life is that many of them end up their life in destruction, suffer the consequence of it. And that we don't find on the screen, not on the magazine. Most of them have got hooked up into cocaine and miserably ended their lives. Why? Because, see, there's always a consequence to sin. Are you with me? There's always a consequence to sin. And what is important is that the problem is nipped right in the bud. So never let the enemy deceive you for a minute to think that since you are special to God, if you are especially a servant of the Lord, it can happen. And then you need to discern, hey, that's not of the Lord. Because you're special to God and because the mercy of God is always there and the grace of God is always there, you can do it just once and boom. That's a trap. That's a snare of the enemy. You hear that? That's a snare of the enemy. And let me give you a scripture for that. Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And the 11th verse is, it's a mighty word. And maybe you can memorize that scripture. It says there, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You hear that? It's not nipped in the bud. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. The first thought of temptation, the first thought, boom. Now you're delivered from the spirit of it, but the enemy knows that you are once a prisoner to it, so the enemy will put in a thought and say, okay, next fasting and prayer is 21 days from now. Now you know the balance. Now you don't go into extremes. You know the balance. Just be sensible. And he will be able to deceive your thinking. Are you with me? And when that thought comes, right there, boom, let Ecclesiastes 8:11 creep into your mind by the Holy Spirit. And put that right out. Nipped right in the butt. I read it again. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to the evil. So nip it right in the beginning. You know, most people who don't come out of a sin, even after seeing Jesus, you know why? There is a set pattern of thought in them. And that thought is, well, this is the way I have been right from my young days. Basically, I've always behaved this way. Have you seen people like that? Look into your own life. If there's a problem, say, I was always like that. Well, let me give you a scripture. Jeremiah 22. The word of God is God is mighty. Jeremiah 22 and verse 21. It says there, the Lord is saying, I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? The scripture is so clear. I mean, the scripture is right to the point. Boom! It says there, this has been my manner from my youth. If that does not, if you get victory over that, you know what the enemy will do in your mind? See, remember the attack against your mind. To form a habit, you know what he'll do? He'll come with another thought. And that thought is the thinking. But this is the way that God made me. He understands. There is half truth and half lie in it. God understands and God knows. But that's not the way he made you. And that's not the way he wants you to be. See, you find people who basically do not want to press in for victory because they say, this is the way God made me. Isn't it? You know they're having a defeatist mentality in their mind in matters concerning their own life, not about getting somebody else a blessing. Jeremiah 13, again, 13th chapter, verse 23, describes this. It says there, can the Ethiopian change skin or the leopard spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. God is saying you're used to doing evil, but you can do good. Don't say that, can the Ethiopian change its color? Or a leopard spots. Since it cannot, I cannot also. Come on. We are Indians, not Ethiopians. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we're going a little bit more simpler, but a little bit more deeper. And we pray the Holy Spirit help us. You still here tonight? It is said that all Christians above the age of 12 struggle with some aspect of their sexual desire every day. It said that we are dealing with that issue of shame and how to be broken out of any habit. We're dealing with the area of sexuality now. And it says here, all Christians, I'm speaking about unbelievers, above the age of 12, struggle with some aspect of their sexual desires every day. And we're going to see how we can understand what God has to say in those areas. Because sometimes you're praying and you say, it has happened to many people. They say, once they come to the Lord, they know God requires of them to be holy and requires of them to be a holy nation. They say, Lord, just take away my sexuality. Some people have come and asked me, brother, is my calling to be a eunuch? Because Matthew 19 says, you know, some for the kingdom of God's sake, I've got this strong desire. No. Are you here tonight? When they cannot find victory in their life, they say, God, please take this away. No, God put that not for you to be frustrated. He gave you a sexuality not for you to be frustrated over it. Remember that, the underlining. Are you with me? He gave you sexuality that you might walk in the blessing of it, but not in the abuse of it. Amen. You hear that? Amen. Look at someone and say, to walk in the blessing of my sexuality. Don't be ashamed. Come on, that's how you come out of your shame. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look to the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. It says there, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave. The word is, one word is, so you use the word cleave. Got it in your Bible? And cleave. You know that word cleave actually in Hebrew means to be joined together as in a sexual union. Hear that? Now why I'm saying that is because I have to build up this word and this talk so that you can really understand in the light of God's word and be free. What does it mean? To be joined together in a sexual union. That word cleave. Now look to Ephesians 5:31. Ephesians 5 verse 31. Tonight, Lord, let this word be a blessing unto many. 5:31. It says there, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Shall join. I like that word, join. That word actually means to be adhered to, or that refers actually in a similar way for you to understand. It speaks about deep intimacy. What God is saying is in marriage you have deep intimacy. Are you with me? Very deep intimacy. Now that comes from a Greek word, which is very hard to pronounce, so I'll just spell it out for you. You can write it if you want, because those meanings are important. Then only you will understand it. Proskolac. Proskolac. I'll read it again. Proskolac. Deep intimacy. That word pros actually means forward to or towards. Okay? It's important. Please stay with me. Forward to or towards. That's what pros means. And K-O-L-L-A-C means glue. To move forward and glue, or gel up in marriage. It's got the meaning, God made man and woman to proskola, which means to blend in sexual union face to face. Whereby the spirit and their bodies are blend together in spiritual and physical intimacy. In spiritual and physical intimacy. You know, a man of God told me that, once he began to understand the word meaning and began to understand why God created sex, and it's supposed to be beautiful, it's supposed not to be an area of frustration, and he began to healthily respect it and thank the Lord for it and see him walking in that blessing, he said, and I ask you people who are married to do the same. In a relationship with his wife, he says, he begins to prophesy because the anointing shows up there. Are you with me? It is that intimate where God steps in. It's not something bad. You hear that? In marriage, not outside of it. If you're going to really cherish your wife and bring her up in the Lord, when you glue together with her in marriage, for married people, please, and for you, the others, when you get married, That's the time you prophesy over that person. Amen. Don't punish that person, but prophesy. Speak the blessing of God. Are you with me? Because the hand of God comes in there. If you want your husband to be saved, speak words over him at that time. He won't ever deal with you again. Please understand me well. Please do it in wisdom. Don't. I'm speaking about believers. If one of them is an unbeliever, don't try that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why I said that is because, to give you an understanding here, I told you that word is used to glue in deep intimacy. Now, out of that pros kolak, that word kolak is the word in Greek that is used to describe the mating of animals. No pros there, only kolak. Hear me well? Are you with me? Only kolak. You hear that? In animals, the word is used and it has got no spiritual effect. It's just physical meaning. But when God instituted that anointing or that gifting in sexuality, in marriage, for man and woman, the minute a man relates with his wife, it is just not a physical release. Are you with me? There is a deep sense of refreshment and nurturing that takes place there. And why I'm saying that is because you find a lot of magazines and books and material, maybe in wrong places, but not understand it scripturally. And that is why when you hear a topic like this in a church, and sometimes you don't, what happens is you feel kind of conscious. Don't. Somebody has to do this job. And I was hoping somebody else would come here and preach on this. And I've been praying for that for 2 years now. And that man has not still showed up. So God said, you stand here and minister. So I had to pray all through the day to say, Lord, get me into an anointing where I won't be embarrassed when I use those terms. I don't want people to get them. Hallelujah. So God said, first smash them. Get the donkey spirit out of them. Then teach them. They'll be relaxed after that. And I felt that in the spirit. The anointing was kind of melted in the first part of the message. It was boom. And that idea was breaking strongholds. And then comes to the second part of understanding how to keep your victory. Amen. Hallelujah. In a woman, what that creates is a sense of security that she draws from her husband's love, a sense of belonging and protection. She feels protected. She feels a belonging, cared for, and she feels special. That's the way it has to be. But the reverse happens when it is done outside of marriage, because God does not show up. Hear that? In marriage, when you do it, that is why people who do it outside of marriage, whether before marriage or after marriage with someone else, boom, they are more empty and more disillusioned, and they just become like animals. Why? Because only that Kalau is there, Kalak is there, the physical mating, the animal nature, what animals do, no intimacy, no security, no nothing of specialness. And that which affects the main part, when you do it outside of marriage with anyone, what happens, or before marriage, what happens is that, one, your soul begins to go through the greatest of guilt. Are you with me? The greatest of guilt. Two, you go through what is called an anxiety attack. Because Proverbs 6 says, who commits adultery dishonors his soul or destroys his soul. He destroys his soul. So you have to realize that God can supernaturally deal with a habit and bring you out. But there are ways in which he is underlined or outlined in the scripture through which you keep your victory. And only if you know the consequence of a sin or how a habit is formed or how the enemy comes against, then only will you know, oh, I should watch out. This is what God says in his word, and I fear God's word and God's anointing and God's name so much that I should not dishonor this, and I will keep myself in the word. And that's where discipline comes in. Because that word which you have heard, the word which you have taken in, the word which you have put inside your spirit begins to act as your strength to take a decision. Otherwise, what happens is week after week you will be coming for deliverance. Are you with me? You get victory 1 week, boom, you go blow it up, and then again you come and say, give me victory again. And after going on like that for some time, you get frustrated, disillusioned with any habit. Now, we are dealing with the area of sexuality. Amen. Hallelujah. One, when Kalau or Kalak, two ways that it's pronounced, what is engaged in is, the consequence is, one, you go through anxiety attacks, deep insecurity, fear, guilt, and more than anything else, a poor self-esteem and an identity crisis. You look at an American culture, you look at, you know, it is said that in a report which I read, that most of the teenagers in schools and colleges there are going for mood-altering experiences. And they're going in for drugs and drinks and getting into other addictions. You know why? The reason being, it is free sex. No controls, nothing. And they think they watch it on TV, they watch it on different sides, and they think that's it. Nothing to worry about. And they go engage in it, and it destroys them inside. And so what happens? They need to have a mood-altering experience. They need to either get into drugs or into drinks or to some habit that will keep their mind off that guilt. Some people overeat. And when all that doesn't work, they think of suicide. Why? Because that addiction has got its consequence. You hear that? How many of you are just told? It's God's consequence. So you don't say, Lord, I want to be a holy nation, and tomorrow morning the supernatural grace of God comes into you and you just boom, overnight holy. No. God says, I'll deliver you from that which is wicked. But that which you need to keep from, you need to keep. I'll give you grace. I will help you. I'll be with you. But you need to resist it. And you need to understand why I created sexuality, why I created sex, and how you should keep yourself and understand it. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So it is said that in some of the churches, in different places, even their worship is a mood-altering experience. Why? Because all through, that's why there might be a lot of excitement and all that, but it's not hot. You know why? Because they're feeling guilty all the time. They want excitement. The worship is, you know, it's an excitement. They want the pastor to come and jump up and down, music to be playing loud. They don't want to put their heart into it. Why? Because their mind is plagued by the guilt. The conscience is not clear. But tonight, let the grace of God reach you. Amen? See, when you get into what I said, what the animals do, the Greek word, okay? what happens is this. It not only affects your self-esteem, identity crisis, guilt, fear, anxiety, insecurity, looking for mood-altering experiences. You begin to question your relationship with the Lord. You begin to ask, does the Lord need me? Am I important for the Lord? Does He love me still? Does anybody need me? You begin to have a doubt about your calling in the Lord. And you begin to doubt whether somebody else loves you. The reason being sin. And what happens is that separates people in fellowship. You come into a congregation and you get offended by little other things when it is your own conscience that's troubling you. Hear that? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the Lord is giving us an anointing and a grace to be loosed out of that bondage tonight? It affects not only that, it affects your finances. Do you know that? When you engage in what animals do, it can be homosexuality, it can be lesbianism, it can be anything that's outside the covenant of what God has kept for you in marriage with any person, any object, anything, animals, whatever. What happens, all these things begin to happen. And not only that, what begins to happen is it affects your finances. Proverbs 6, open with me to Proverbs 6. Some of you are praying for prosperity and you're tithing, but you're not seeing the release. You know why? I'm not saying everyone, but some. There might be different reasons. One reason sometimes could be this. Give me a minute to find it out. The fifth chapter and it's speaking about the peril of adultery and the tenth verse. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. You hear that? It affects your wealth. It affects your health. Look at Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 23. Verses 21 onwards. With her enticing speech she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to a slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stalks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it, it would take his life. Till an arrow struck his liver. That word liver actually comes from a word called K-A-B-E-D, Cabot, which means actually heavy. And that's why some say, the doctors here, they could tell me if I'm wrong. The liver is supposed to be the heaviest of your internal organs. Right? Yes. It is a heaviest of the internal organs. That word means heavy. Now that is the same word which the root word is kabod, which means glory. Are you with me speaking about the glory of God? So same word glory, which means the thick anointing or the presence of God. So what this sin does is that when you get into it, you suddenly find that not only affects your finances and self-esteem and identity and all that leads you into confusion, but it affects your glory. You hear that? You find that in the long run, the anointing on you begins to thin out. And some of you are wondering why God doesn't use you the way that God was using you before. Why? Because somewhere down the line, the glory might have thinned down. But let me tell you, there is restoration in the Lord. There is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. You need to learn, come back, submit, and say, Lord, let your word be a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. May your word have its power inside of me to keep me from the way that I want to go. Amen. When your hormones begin to want to do something wrong, always listen that your hormones don't have a conscience. Are you with me? When you get sexually active or, you know, it happens, doesn't it? Anybody who has never felt it? Let me pray for you. It's a beautiful feeling if you know how to handle it. Hallelujah. You need to know that it's not my hormones, not my emotion that gave me. I feel excited. I feel tempted, but no. It is the word. The word has to guide me. I have to keep myself. And the sooner you learn to get in that kind of discipline, you'll find that threat of the enemy or the temptation in that area beginning to thin off. Instead of your anointing beginning to thin off. And your anointing begins to thicken and the enemy's attacks begin to thin. If you give into it, you will find the second time it's more forceful and the anointing is lesser on you to fight it. Come on, church. When you learn to resist it step by step, everybody goes through temptation, but I'm speaking about giving into it. When you learn to resist it, the anointing thickens up. And the second time the enemy comes again, he spins out. He knows, well, this doesn't work. No. But you give into it, the enemy says, no, it's easy. And the anointing thins out. And you don't have the strength to fight it. But Lord, anoint your church once again with glory. Now, I'm just giving you one more point. And then, if tomorrow is not a bump, actually, tomorrow after the morning prayer, I actually want to have a session just with the ladies, 6 to 7. Is worship time that we have just prayer, and then maybe from 7:15 to 8:15, 1 hour, just ladies on how to understand certain things about what God has to say from His Word about them, and then in the evening, just for the gents to understand a lot of things that God is just speaking specifically for them. But if it is a bunt, it might not work tomorrow. I don't know whether the enemy kept it a bunt. I'm not sure. Or maybe I'll keep it for Monday. Monday, if it's a month. Somebody said Monday is the month. Who? Monday is the month. Huh? Holy Transport was tomorrow or Monday. Let's see. Let the Lord lead them. We're just dealing with one more issue. That's Proverbs chapter 5. The same area. Proverbs chapter 5, 15 onwards. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountain be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all its paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man and discord in the courts of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. You hear that? He shall die for lack of instruction. So instruction can, lack of instruction can lead you astray and get you into bondage, which means instruction can get you out of bondage. If lack of instruction can get you into bondage, instruction can get you out of bondage. Amen. Now here it says, drink water from your own cistern. And running water from your own well. in the Bible, sexuality into the book of Proverbs and John and all that you will find is always mentioned as waters. Now, but there are three ways in which it is described. Cistern, drink water from your own cistern. That word cistern actually means untapped water or well. Hear that? Untapped, pure, untapped, fresh, pure, untapped water. That's speaking about the virgin. Are you with me? The water is untapped, it's pure, it's without pollution, it's without corruption, it's pure. Nobody's touched it. You've kept yourself. Then the word used is well. The word used is well. Running water from your own well. That's speaking about your wife. Running water from your own well is speaking about your wife. Term as wells. Cool, refreshing waters from a well. Your wife. Are you with me? The third is, should your fountain be dispersed abroad? The fountain is speaking about the man's sexuality. See, man's sexuality is driven by an internal force. That's what it means. Fountain is always driven by an internal force. Are you with me? Still healing? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now what happens is, virgin, it's cistern. Wives, it's well. Men's sexuality is like a fountain. But look to Proverbs 23 and 27. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow. Do you see the difference? A cistern is untapped water. Well is the wife. The fountain is the husband. All pure, all graceful, all intimate. Wonderful the way that God has created. But here it says about a deep ditch. Who is a deep ditch? A harlot. And a seductress is a narrow well. Southern version uses the word an empty well or a narrow pit. That's the word actually used. The real translation is a narrow pit. Can you imagine that? So the difference is this. Where there is no well, there is always dirt. There is darkness. There is insects. Are you with me? So anything when you do outside of marriage, you're opening yourself to demonic forces, to darkness to creep into your life. Come on, church. It's polluted. Empty wells are always polluted. Narrow pits are always polluted. Now when you join yourself with, that's why we say that sex outside of marriage is wrong. You hear that? Fornication is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Why? Because it's a narrow pit. It's a well which contains no water. And what happens is demonic forces begin to come against you. And why I'm saying that is because there might be at least one person, honestly in my spirit I know how many people, but not to embarrass anyone and not to put on anyone, there might be at least one person who might have fallen into a pit or into a well which contains no water sometime in your life, maybe before you become a believer or after you become a believer, whatever, and it has got its consequences when you realize it with the knowledge of God's word, under the anointing of God, and when the word of God is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, there is a release that will come upon your life, and you will know how to keep yourself, and then you can command that bondage to leave you. Still hearing me?
Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. One of my brothers in the Lord wrote me a letter, which is amazing, which are certain things which I never knew, and I appreciate him for that honesty. And he was speaking about chat rooms, computers, chat rooms, and all that, the amount of filth that is there. And he in his misery after having visited one of them, he said, never again. He says, a believer should never. Are you with me? When you own your computer, you should know why you're owning it. I understand there's a blessing with a computer. Sometimes you can get a lot of things done fast. But when you own it, you should know why. Very clear. Otherwise, don't play along with it. Are you with me? Don't chat with strangers. Not even for fun. There are believers' chat rooms where Christian chat rooms, where you go to, and they're not Christians at all. They just come into that chat room to lead you astray. I know certain churches where the girls in those churches were led astray through chat rooms. And it shocked me. They just got into it thinking it is a chat room where believers are coming. And it starts with faith and all that. And then boom, taken across. Are you with me? Tonight, let that curse be broken over your life if anybody is in that habit. In Jesus' name, who I feel a holy anointing here in this place. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 13 onwards. Food is for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. And the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the... I like that. What the word means there is the Lord is not against your body. He's for your body. Sometimes you think the Lord is fighting against your body. Are you with me? He's not against your body. He's for your body. He values it. That's why he allowed his own son to be a sacrifice for you. And there is a day in which the redemption of the body shall take place when Jesus comes in great glory. He values your body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. But the 15th verse is what I want to highlight. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Why? The 16th verse says the reason. Or do you not know that he who was joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one. Then it goes on to say, flee sexual immorality. So what happens is, when you join yourself with anyone outside your marriage, you're becoming one with that person. In other words, you're becoming one with an empty pit or a well that contains no water. And when that happens, there takes place what is called a demonic transference. The bondage in that person begins to get into you. I had a person coming to me and saying, he was a believer and he was visiting prostitutes, and after he realized that he shouldn't, he was trying to get out of it, and he said he came and was trying to consecrate his life, and while lying in bed after prayer, he felt as if there were other people lying with him on bed. Now that was a real experience that he went through. Now he was not mentally insane or not in a different state of mind. But suddenly he said, you know why? Because that prostitute, all the people with whom she had committed a wrong act, all the body that is being like a medium, like a transference, is all upon the person and is coming through. You hear that? Is there a way out? There is a way out. Is there redemption? There is redemption. Are you with me? Sometimes after marriage, sometimes what happens to people is that, you know, if you're looking for marriage, I think I need to say this also tonight. If you're looking for a marriage partner, you know what, as a girl you should look out for? Don't just say, just because he's a believer, I'll marry him. Don't. You're making a mistake. That comes for the guys also. Where is it? You know what you should look at if you're looking for marriage? A partner? If you're married, don't look for another one. One, if you're looking for, you should be a believer, that is good. But one of the things that you look for is that, where is it? I can't see it here. You need to see, one, whether that person has have or having of ancestry or a repetitive action of witchcraft, astrology. You know, I was amazed. One of the girls in the ministry came to me and said, I'm getting married. I said, to who? To a believer. Fine. And said, I want to tie a tali and I want to get married and he wants an alavalaku, all that. I said, come on, what's happening? He says he's a believer but does not even know the word. You don't marry believers like that. Are you with me? Don't fall into that trap. You need to look and see. That's where when a marriage is fixed. What do you speak when a person comes to see you if you're a girl? Marriage, parents are fixing up a marriage and comes to see you. What do you speak? Every day, but it's not going to be a good thing. It's not going to come on. You need to see certain other things. What is there a history of occult and black magic and witchcraft and still beliefs and superstitions and all that? Two. Is he a homemaker? Can he father your child? Just not emotions and looks. Will he be a good father to my child? That takes responsibility. Are you with me? Poko ando, Sorav ando, Anjit Khane poli ando irikinne. Amitabh Bachchan, pardon me. You didn't look for all that. Has he an addiction to alcohol, into drugs? Is he hooked up into pornography? Watch all those. That's what you watch. Is he going to be faithful? If you are a guy, you're going to look for, you know, you're not just going to look in the looks department. It's going to be more than that. Is that lady prayerful? Does she pray? Is she a homemaker? Titus 2 says a young woman are supposed to be homemakers. If she's got his own independent lifestyle, she's got his own, her own independent lifestyle. I'm going to work, I'm going to do all that. And when I'm not doing anything, I'll make a cup of coffee for you. Tada, bye-bye. It looks cool, but that's not scriptural. Are you with me? On scriptural. Even if she's a woman of God, she says, I'm called, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I don't have time for you. No. You hear that? Because when, see, after God, your relationship with Jesus, the second priority is not ministry, but your family. And if you are a girl or a boy, your ministry comes from the family. It's not the other way around. If a girl comes, okay, I got a calling, I'm called to go through the nations. And okay, I just need a husband because that'll look respectable. and you seem to be a nice guy, will you marry me? We can serve the Lord for some time. Then leave me on my calling. No, 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 no. Come on, church. You enjoying the word tonight? See, you need, when you're looking to marry a girl, you need to look for, is she too attached to her mother? Is she going to run to her daddy all the time and say all her troubles? If she has to face a decision in her life, is she going to go to her father and say, listen, my husband says we're going to change our house. Is it okay? Don't marry. Come on. Come on. My Bible says after a man and a wife join together, they have to leave their parents. Are you with me? You don't. You have to watch out. That's very important. Because otherwise a fresh family is not manifesting for the glory of God. You can never tune according to the word of God. And you will find in disunity coming in the long run and bondage coming in. Now what we were dealing with is this. I just skipped off in between because where was the text that I took before that? Huh? Yeah. What I'm saying is, you is understand that demonic transference takes place. If you have joined yourself to anyone ever in your life, outside of marriage or before marriage, are you with me? Chances are that the reason why you're getting defeated is because those demonic strongholds that was in that person is showing up again and again in your life. When you're fasting and praying, that doesn't show up. Are you with me? That stays in another person. But when you're walking by yourself later on, boom, that bondage comes up. So what should you do to be free? One, recognize it. Two, repent of that sin. Are you with me? Repent of that sin. Call it a sin. Repent of it. Turn from it. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I come under your blood. Three, consecrate your life afresh to Jesus. Four, accept the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus. Five, after you're submitted to the Lord, say a simple prayer. And I believe that, Lord, in your name, I release my soul, my sexuality, my body, from every wrong relationship that has taken place in my life. I release my life in your name, Jesus, and I accept it by faith, and I thank you for it. That simple prayer that you make in the name of the Lord will cancel every demonic manifestation that's coming against you, Brooks, right there. There might be no electric shock or falling down anywhere, but that's broken. Are you with me? It's broken. And sometimes you might have had a long time before you got married. And then you became a believer, you might. But if there is an attack in that area of your life, you need to cancel it. Are you with me? It might have come through friends, college mates, cousins, relatives, or different people. Whatever. Break it. Come on, church. Is this helpful tonight? So here you see that. See, if you don't, you need to recognize that shame that's hidden there. And it's always coming at. And because of all that, there are thoughts that are repeatedly come. See, let me ask you one thing. You will find those of you who have fallen into those kind of areas, you will find there are always voices in your head. No peace inside your mind. Hear that? The minute you confess, God forgives you. Now when you submit and say, Lord, I ask you forgiveness, that bondage becomes broken. Hear that? Then it won't come again. Then you have to apply the word to that situation and resist it. How many understand what I'm saying? Oh, hallelujah. Tonight we're going to pray. Now, I just close with this for the night at least. This is the waters open. The first miracle that Jesus did was where? At Cana. What did he do there? What was happening there? That's right. The Lord, during the wedding, did the first miracle. He turned the water into... That's the first miracle. The water by itself looks boring. It looks dull. There's no color to it. Sometimes you have got into bondage and fallen into sin so repeatedly, they say, but it's no color to my life. Marriage looks boring. Are you with me? At least that thought, it is said that the thought has crept through the mind of believers one time or the other in their life. I think I married the wrong person. He doesn't love me. He's not there for me all the time. Maybe I should have. What would it be if I married somebody like that or someone else? The thought. Why? Because the water in the marriage looks boring, dull. Are you with me? But what you need to understand is Jesus turned the water into wine. Wine is symbolic of the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. In other words, what the Lord is saying is, if you need to see a freshness in your marriage or in the marriage that you're going to marry, allow the Holy Ghost to manifest Himself in your marriage bed. Allow the Holy Spirit to manifest there. Boom. Are you with me? In management, prophesy over your life. Get in the holy laughter. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, church. See, what I want to say through that scripture is this. Not only did Jesus turn the water into wine, it means not only will the Lord forgive you, but for you to walk in victory, not only do you need the forgiveness, but you need power. And that's where the Holy Spirit has to show up. Are you with me? The power. Now some of you are fasting and praying and you've received the forgiveness. You know it. Otherwise, when you go back tomorrow, today, tonight, write on a piece of paper the wrongs that you've done. Bring it out of your system. That's all. The paper has got nothing to do with it. Bring it out of your system. Bring that shame out. Say it out openly. What's happened? Are you with me? Name, place, everything. Say it out. Boom. Don't show it to anyone. Say it out. Write it out. Let it come out of you. That shame, that burden just come out of you. Once that comes out of you, don't share it with anyone, please. Are you with me? What I'm saying there is, if you're married, you say, now you don't go back and say, now he's also in the Lord. 20 years back before I married you. My God, the next 20 years you have had it. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Are you with me? Amen. Don't become so spiritual that you go around saying to everyone. Get on your face before the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you, show you those memories. Bring it out. Write it down. Are you with me? Write it down. Amen. Come under the blood of Jesus. Say, Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. Accept the forgiveness. There is a tendency to be angry at that time. Are you with me? Angry with yourself. So you have to forgive yourself. Either if you have violated someone or somebody has violated you, in shame, what happens is you begin to have anger. So you need to forgive yourself. You sometimes even think God is not fair. So you need to forgive. And once you're forgiven, if it is in an ongoing relationship, then what happens is there is always a fear of rejection. That's the greatest fear people have. If you have hooked up into a relationship that is wrong, and when you are saying, Lord, no, I'm coming out of it, I ask you forgiveness, there is always a fear of rejection. Are you with me? What if something happens, the person walks away and goes away? What happens? That fear can only go when that anointing of love shows up. That's why you say, Lord, I have this fear, but I release and I offer my life to you. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you fresh. Dedicate your life. And the blessing of God will be upon you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, tonight we're just going to, I haven't finished, but I think it's a long time. We just humble ourselves before the Lord tonight and pray. Remember this, the shame in this area, that's what I was speaking about. Even if it be with animals. Once a person wrote to me and said, Pastor, you do not know what kind of person I am. I have done the most abominable of things. Well, let me tell you, Jesus forgives you. Are you with me? Whether it be homosexuality, lesbianism, any kind of relationship with animals or with objects or whatever, be open before the Lord. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Amen. Let's stand in the presence of the Lord in prayer. Prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary for you. One more time, church, together. is your word. And wherever your word is, Lord, there is healing and there is victory and blessing and deliverance. Even tonight, Lord, I want to thank you for the yokes that have been broken and for lives that have been loosed by your blood and set free. Lord, may your people see the manifestation of that in their lives day to day, O God. Let there be faith and life and freshness of your grace flowing through every one of them. May they know, O God, that your word declares, though our sins be as red as scarlet, yet, Lord, hallelujah, when we reason together with you, you shall make it whiter than snow. Yes, Lord, may every sin be covered under your blood of your children, and may they experience the righteousness of your name and of your blood, Jesus, upon their lives, and may they enjoy the consecration and the liberty. Your hands, they come at your people now. Bless them. Bless each one of us. Lord, even myself, I humble myself before your hand, and I give myself into your hands. After having preached your word, I myself should not be disqualified. I give you my life, and I pray that you keep me. At your hands, I commit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and thank him one more time from your hearts tonight. Shalom.